This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
God never treats us with cruelty. God does not inflict wounds on His own children. God does not give His children cancer. God does not cause heart attacks for His children. So if stuff like that happens, stop saying, well, it must have been the Lord's will. It is not.
Ladies, are you ready to find your worth?
This is an awesome experience.
It's amazing.
Join us for 3 life-changing days at the 2020 Worth Radical Women's Conference, March 19th through the 21st, and learn just how valuable you are.
Mark my words, this is going to be epic.
Register today for this radical event at taffydollar.org or text RADICAL to 51555.
If you have your Bibles with you this morning, let's go with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 16. Again, you ought to have a big dent there by now. Galatians chapter 2, 16, out of the New Living Translation. I'm so excited about what I'm about to share, I probably need to stay in this pulpit this morning. I'm going to do the best that I can. I need to remain calm so I can get the message to you. Amen. Galatians chapter 2. Now, we started back some weeks ago dealing with the series 10 Ways to Respond to the Finished Works of Jesus Christ. In other words, there's some works that are already done. Your healing is a finished work. Your forgiveness of sins is a finished work. Your reconciliation is a finished work. Your soundness and provision, your provision is a finished work. And so if Jesus has already finished the work, you and I should not be trying to do something to finish what's already finished. And so if Jesus has already healed you, your job is to receive what's done by faith. Jesus, through His grace, has already made everything available to you that pertains to life and godliness. So grace made it available. But faith is what takes possession of what grace has made available. So if healing has been made available, your faith will take possession of that. Your deliverance has been made available. You're not begging God to deliver you. He's already delivered you 2,000 years ago. So you use your faith to take possession, take it into your life so you can see it today. And so we're talking about how to respond to the finished works of Jesus. What does it look like? You know, instead of me trying to get in religious activity, you know, I got to fast 5 more days so I can get God to do something. Well, God's already done it. And you're not going to ever be able to get God to do what He's already done. Amen? And neither are you going to, you're never going to be able to get God to do what He told you to do. So the things He told you to do are going to be you operating the authority. And the things He's already done is going to be you releasing your faith to get a hold of it. And so we've been talking about number one way to respond to the finished works of Jesus is to believe in the love that God has for you. Because if you don't believe God loves you, you won't believe what He has promised you or what He says to you. And the second way to respond is, that's what we've been stuck on recently, is we've got to make a decision to believe in the finished works of Jesus. I have made a decision to believe that I'm already healed. And so when sickness attacks my body, I say, I believe I'm healed, regardless of what the sickness says. I'm not going to let sickness... I believe I'm healed right now, and sickness is trying to take what I already am. That's how this works. And so we've been talking about the finished works of Jesus, rather than me just saying the finished works, and you wonder, well, what are the finished works? Well, the finished works of Jesus is those things I just called deliverance from sin, deliverance from sickness. It's already done. It's a finished work. Reconciliation is a finished work. Healing is a finished work. The peace offering that Jesus paid for your sins is a finished work. And so today, I want to talk to you about this deliverance from punishment. That's a finished work. Deliverance from punishment is a finished work. Let me read this scripture. This is our text scripture, and then we'll get into this. Galatians 2:16, let's read it out loud together. Ready, read. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. Stop. So if anybody asked you, what do I need to do to be right with God? The answer used to be, under the law, it used to be, you're going to have to obey the law in order to be made right with God. That was the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and asked him, what do I have to do to have eternal life? And Jesus responded to him under the law and said, you got to keep the commandments in order to be right with God. But now, under this covenant of grace, under this dispensation of grace, where the Bible says that sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're no longer under the law, but you're under grace. Say that loud, I'm under grace. Under grace, you're not made right with God by obeying the law. Under grace, you're made right with God by your faith in the finished works of Jesus Christ. So you're made right with God not by your doing, but by your believing in what Jesus has already done. If you understand that, say amen.
Amen.
So he says, and we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ. He says, not because we have obeyed the law. Now notice you're not made right with God because you obey the law. That goes against everything you learned in church. Every one of you have been to a church to say, if you're going to be made right with God, you got to obey the commandments. You got to keep what he says. And right here, he says, you're not made right with God because you obey the law. You're made right with God because of your faith in Jesus Christ. And look at the final sentence here. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. Whoa. Yeah, but I'm telling you, you just read it for yourself. No one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. Think of it. You're having to do a bunch of religious activity, but you don't believe in what Jesus has done. You ain't gonna be made right with God because you fast twice a week or you keep the Ten Commandments. And you're not gonna be made right with God with that. I'm not saying that's not gonna be the result of what you do, but the only way you're gonna be made right with God is to believe and accept what Jesus has done. Your faith in Jesus is what makes you right with God, not your religious activity that makes you right with God.
Amen.
If you understand that, say amen.
Amen.
I ain't asked you if you agreed. I asked you if you understand what I just said. Amen. Now, I believe that Jesus has already taken care of the punishment that used to happen to those who lived under the law. Under the law, God was a judge. Under grace, he is a father. Under the law, there was punishment for not being able to keep the law. Under the grace of God, you have been delivered from the curse of not being able to keep the law. Many religious people still preach today that punishment comes to Christian people as a result of what they could not do or did not do. Now, there is freedom from punishment. The easiest thing for us to do sometimes is to blame God for everything that hits us. And you know people like that, like I do. Blame God for everything that happens. Blame God for the relative that died. Blame God for the sickness that came in your body. Blame God that you didn't get the job. Blame God for the car wreck. Why did God let that happen? And if God was supposed to be so powerful and awesome, then why didn't he stop that? And God is the one that gets the blame for everything. And it's important to recognize the roles played by others. There are others involved in this picture. You have the world. You have the flesh. You have the devil. It's not just God in this picture called life. The Bible says that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And most of the stuff you're blaming God for are the things that he's responsible for, killing, stealing, and destroying. But Jesus said, I didn't come to kill, steal, and destroy. He says, I came that you might have what? Life, and have it how? More abundantly. So it's especially important if we're going to get our belief system straight about the Christian's freedom from judgment and this freedom from punishment. And so you have a Christian who gets sick, for example. And then he loses his job. And then his wife divorces him. And then his friends start trying to connect the dots to find out why God did this to him. Sounds just like Job all over again, right? And today we're still quick to put the God stamp on everything that happens to us. And God doesn't want the credit. A drunk driver rams into someone's car. A 2-year-old girl dies. Well, the Lord took her. The Lord took her, some would say. The Lord took the little flower out of the garden and replanted it in heaven. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Bless it. That's so out of context. But that's what some people will say. Now, I know God is sovereign, but God wasn't drunk that day. Are you hearing me? God wasn't steering the car into the little girl's way, right? The world teaches overindulgence is okay. And we live in a society that overindulgence is fine. And so what happens is the flesh, we're looking at all the other folks. So the world, now we look at the flesh. The flesh craves also, it craves the alcohol to drown out the sorrows that somebody might be going through. And we're tempted to go ahead and to drive drunk because it's no big deal. Nobody's saying that's the issue. It was God. Now listen to me carefully. God allowed that circumstance, but he didn't cause it. Follow me. God never treats us with cruelty. God does not inflict wounds on his own children. God does not give his children cancer. God does not cause heart attacks for his children. So if stuff like that happens, stop saying, well, it must have been the Lord's will. It is not. But as long as a loving father, he is a loving father, he comforts and helps us in the midst of earthly turmoil. You're gonna have issues to come up. And you can depend on God comforting you through those issues. Some of y'all going through rough stuff right now, you need to pause and you need to reflect just a moment. How am I able to make it through that? It's God, baby. It's God. Some of you should have lost your mind a long time ago with the trauma that you've experienced all of your life, with the bad relationships, with all of the abuse that you've taken place. You should have blew your brains out a long time ago. But hallelujah, God was still that eagle stirring in the nest, praise the Lord. And I said before, if anything good has ever happened in your life, that was God. Because all good and perfect gifts come from the Father. And if you've ever seen any good, that was God. You didn't deserve it, you didn't earn it, but God will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, God ain't gonna go with me to the bar while I'm drunk. Who you think it was that caused you to be safely in a place where you didn't kill yourself? God shows up in every stupid place that you go to.
When you show up at the motel to commit adultery on your wife, God is right there. He's the one that's talking you out of it. He's the one that's telling you to stop. He's the one that's why, because he knows that there are consequences, and there's a devil loose that's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. So if you are alive today, you got to give God the glory and the praise, because it's his goodness. He is why you are still here. He helps us in the midst of earthly turmoil. And we come out on the other side with a better understanding of his relentless love for us. Look at Romans 8, verse 28 and 29. I got to get you to see that you didn't do anything to earn the trouble. There are consequences. There are things that happen, but we got to get out of this thing of saying that every bad thing that happens is something that you caused to happen. You know, you're becoming a part of the accuser of the brethren. That every time something bad happened, you want to blame yourself. I know how that feels. I used to do that. I used to blame myself for everything that didn't go right in your life. Maybe I'm not teaching it right. Maybe I'm not praying hard enough for you. Maybe I need to fast more for you. Maybe I need to get the church roll and call all of your names out. That means I got to pray all day. But I realize that there's something called life. And life wants to happen to you if you let it. Or you can take hold of your relationship with God and happen to life and say, I already know trouble gonna come, because the Bible says, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. So the persecution didn't come because you weren't praying enough. The persecution didn't come because you weren't fasting enough. The persecution didn't come because you missed the day tithing. The persecution was gonna come if you spent 2 hours praying a day. It was gonna come if you was nice to everybody you saw. It was gonna come if you never missed the church service. The persecution was gonna come. Why? Because that's a part of life. Persecution shows up. So God's not the one that caused the persecution, but he'll sure use it to develop you. He will sure use it to bring out the character of Jesus Christ in you. Now, I'm going to reiterate that over and over again, because I don't think you just got what I said. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. He says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Now, I don't care what happens to you, if you hang in there and hang on to Jesus, God's gonna take the mess, mix it in with the clay, and it'll become a part of the masterpiece. One day you're gonna be tempted to send all your critics thank you notes. Because somehow it was their provoking you that caused you to stand more securely on what Jesus promised you. See, God's not the author. Listen to this. This is radical. God's not the author of all things. God is not the author of sin. God is not the author of pain. God is not the author of death. But God uses all things of this world as a training ground to enable us to grow in our reflection of the character of Jesus Christ. So he's not the author of all things, but he'll use all things. What stupid decision did you make last month? It now qualifies to be used by God to get you to a place where he's ultimately called you to be. What rude and mean thing that you did to somebody? He gonna use that to as development. You gotta start looking at your persecution and your trouble as your nourishment bar. So when the devil show up, you ought to say, boy, I've been waiting on you. I was ready for work out. Where you at? I'm ready to work out. What's up? You got to quit being so scared, and we got to quit beating people up saying, if you would have prayed a little bit more, then that would not have happened. I'm telling you, some of that stuff gonna happen if you pray all day, every day. Because you got to develop from where you are to where God's called you to be. You might be mean now, but the things that happen in your life is going to work that meanness out of you, and one day you're going to display the character of the fruit of the Spirit. Somebody say, once a fool, always a fool. Not when you're a Christian. God will work the fool out of you. And I believe he's working in you right now. Turn to two people and tell them, God's working in you right now. God's working in you right now. Halalabosha, you ain't gonna never be just the same. You're being transfigured right now. Transformation is taking place right now. You're seated here minding your own business, listening to the word of God, and God's changing your mind about some things. There are things that are changing right now. You're going to be a better husband. You're going to be a better wife. Your relationship's going to get better. The only thing that can stop this thing is a bunch of excuses on your part. Wherever you find excuses, you're going to find failure. That's Wednesday sermon, amen? All Christians have been destined for that privilege to display or to sweat the glory of Christ. You can hear that. Every Christian has been predestined to display or sweat the glory of Christ, whether on this earth or in the world to come. I don't want to use glory so you can make it religious, but every Christian has been predestined to display the manifestations of the promises of God. Everybody, when people bump into a Christian, they're gonna experience the sweat of his glory. I prophesy to you right now that God is about to use you as a display. Just like they do in the clothing store. They put them little things in the window to display the clothes. You're about to be used. You're preparing to be used as a display of his glory. When they look at you, they're going to be able to see the glory of God. When they look at you, those who are hopeless are going to have hope. When they look at you, what they didn't understand, they'll be able to understand it through you. If they don't read the written epistles, they'll start reading the living epistles, and they'll start noticing you. Get ready. Turn to your neighbor and say, get ready. You're about to sweat the glory. My God. Think on that. I'm about to sweat the glory. I'm about to sweat the glory. I'm about to sweat the glory. Hallelujah. If you've never seen healing, I'm about to sweat healing. If you've never seen deliverance, I'm about to sweat deliverance. If you've never seen the provider show up and do what they said couldn't be done, I'm about to sweat it, praise God.
Trust is the currency of the kingdom of God. As you trust him, you learn that God is faithful and will do exactly what he says he will do.
I believe what Jesus did. I believe it's a done deal. I ain't walking out of this spot.
It is God's will for you to be healthy and whole.
I'm healed. I'm healed. I'll shout it to the mountaintop. I am not gonna move. I fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah.
Get today's message for your love gift of $7 or more.
What kind of person are you? I'm a born-again, fire-baptized, anointed person. I believe God. Hallelujah.
For your love gift of $35 or more, get the God Wants You Healed combo, including today's message, the Life Talks Health and Wellness 2 DVD series, and the How Do I Trust God mini book, all for only $35. Call or visit the website on the screen to order today.
Cleveland, Ohio, Dallas, Texas. The Change Experience is on its way. Join Pastors Creflo and Taffy Dollar for one night only, March 6th in Cleveland, Ohio, and April 24th in Dallas, Texas.
As soon as we found out that it was happening again, my friend found out, booked a ticket straight away.
It's really, really, really changed my life.
If you want to make real change, put away your judgment and learn how to just walk and love people no matter where they are.
Just say, mirror, you know, I love you and I love me and I love what I see. I'm the reflection of God and God loves me and I'm going to be all right and it is all right.
You don't want to miss these special events.
You have to be here to be able to feel the atmosphere that is created and already set forth. It is indescribable.
Go online to get your free seat today. We can't wait to see you there.
For more than 30 years, many of you have come alongside us, giving donations, calling in testimonies, praying for us, and showing us so much support. We wanted to come on this broadcast today to say, first of all, thank you. We love you, and we're praying for you every single day. We pray that your needs are met as well, according to His riches and glory. Now, some of you may be watching and wondering what partnership is all about. Partnership is about coming together to accomplish a common goal. For over three decades, we have been partnering with people like you to help to reach people globally. Our goal is to help people understand grace so that they may be empowered to change not only themselves, but also their communities. As a 2020 Vision partner, your monthly financial commitment and your commitment to pray for our ministry and all of its endeavors is reciprocated through our commitment to pray for you and seek God on your behalf. We also send you a monthly letter and periodically send special gifts to show our appreciation to you. When you sign up, you also receive a special Vision Partner Kit to welcome you to this family of brothers and sisters in Christ. We would love for you to partner with us today. We are constantly looking for ways we can bless you as our partners, supporters, and friends. So contact us today and let us know how you would like to get involved today.
Your partnership allows us to accomplish all we do at this ministry. To become a 2020 Vision Partner with Creflo Dollar Ministries, call us or visit our website to sign up. Our prayer is that God's grace will profusely abound in your life today and always. God bless you. Your generosity allows us to make a difference in the lives of people all over the world. Through Creflo Dollar Global Missions, we are providing food, clothing, crucial supplies, and the Word of God to people in the most remote regions of the world. Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.